Well, good morning, everyone. Hello, welcome to the Kingdom of Orinon and our whimsical mushroom forest. In case you didn't know, this past week was our main event, which is kind of our version of Vacation Bible School. And man, was it was just like amazing. I was just telling somebody out in the lobby that, you know, my body is like so tired, but my heart is like so full. After a week, we had 470 plus kids, 150 plus leaders. We were like full up in the balcony all over. We had a giant glow dance party. I mean, just like the smiles on the kids' faces was just worth so much of the work. And plus, we got to teach kids about the kingdom of God. And in fact, maybe you might not even know this, even if you were here all week, but the reason why we chose the name Orinon as the word for our fictional kingdom was because that's the Greek word for heaven. And so we actually got to teach kids what it's like in the kingdom of heaven and the differences between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of heaven. And we got to teach them about our king that we serve. And kids made decisions for Christ. I'm talking too much about it because it was just so much fun. But you'll hear more about it in the service. But man, it just is such a great week. I just thank you guys so much for praying for all of us, for praying for our students and for our leaders. God really did a mighty work this week, and we're just so glad and grateful that we got to be a part of it and got to be a part of the kingdom work of teaching kids about Jesus. Well, hello and welcome. Hi, my name's Elena. And it is just so good to be together today. Welcome to everybody out on the patio. If you're watching us online, I hope you guys are having a great morning as well, enjoying your coffee and your pajamas. And we're just so glad to be together. You know, we are a family, and this week at Main Event was really, truly a time of seeing our family come together for one common purpose. And so if this is your first time here, we are so glad that you're here. Welcome to the family. You are a vital part of our family now too. We would love to get to know you more. If you're here in person, you can come stop by Connection Central after service. We'd have a gift for you. We'd just like to answer any questions that you might have about how you can get plugged into New Life. And when you came in, you got this bulletin, and FYI, these are new every single week. So they have vital information, great ways for you to get connected here, for you to find a place to belong, find a place to serve. And in fact, coming up in a couple weeks, we have what is our Fully Alive Crew Rally. So, and it is a great way to start that step, take that next step in getting involved here at New Life. If you serve in any capacity, anywhere, anytime at New Life, you're welcome. Or if you'd like to just find a place to jump in and serve, that's a great, great, great first step to jumping in and serving. And today, this morning, we're going to start off with a song called House of the Lord. And it talks about how just there is joy in the house of the Lord. And this week at Main Event, it was so evident seeing kids just having joy in the house of the Lord. So much joy. And so as we stand up, you might want to stretch, you know, get your hands ready to clap. It's a clap along to the song, get ready to move, and maybe just focus on some reasons why you might have joy this morning. Would you stand and welcome?
The joy of the Lord is our strength, amen? Amen. Let's sing the song out. That we get to worship you this morning. We sing, we worship the God.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. God.
who always makes a way. But we don't see it, 'cause he hung up on that cross and he rose up from that grave. Well, my God is still rolling stones. Shout out your praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, and now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, but now we're running free. And we are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. This is good news, come on. 'Cause we were the beggars, but now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. And we are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. If we shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We're gonna shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. You're a worthy Father.
Searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along, put me back together. Here in your love. And then His people declare that there's nothing better than you. No, there's nothing better than you. No, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, we know that it's true. I'm not afraid.
Better than you, Lord, there's nothing. Malachi 1:1. It says, "For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." We've got a couple more scriptures we want to look at, but one of our dear friends in our worship community, a few weeks back, we were singing this song, Worthy of It All. And the bridge to Worthy of It All says, "Day and night, night and day, let incense arise." And this friend of ours just talked to us a little bit and was like, "Hey, what's the deal with the incense? What's the deal there?" And if you look back at the Old Testament, there's a precedent for right offering and coming to the Lord at the tabernacle and to the Ark of the Covenant in the right way. And I've been reading a book lately that's actually really interesting. It asks us to think about the smells that would have been there. When you came as a sinner, you came with your sacrifice and you had to wait in line. You had to be worthy and you had to do all these rituals and these things that were really important to Yahweh, to Father God. And you'd come in and you'd be smelling the smell of death and hearing the smell of animals, and you'd smell the stinky animals. And then there was this beautiful incense, the smell that was pleasing to the Lord, and it all mixed together. And now today, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we don't have to bring an animal, we don't have to deal with those smells anymore or anything like that. But scripture leaves a precedent after the Levitical law, and in the book of Exodus we read these new scriptures in Revelation, we'll get to. And so Terrence and I got to talking about, well, remember what the Psalm of David was from Psalm 141 that we'll look at now, verses 1 and 2. A Psalm of David: "O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you, and let my prayer, rather than my sacrifice, let my prayer be counted as incense before you. And let the lifting up of my hands be as the evening sacrifice." We fast forward to the new covenant when all will be made new. And in Revelation 8, we see an image of the throne room, everything made new. We see an image of right worship where John says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayer of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel." See, God is waiting to smell that smell. God is waiting to hear our prayers. God is worthy of our worship. And as we sing this bridge, as we sing these words, "Day and night, night and day, let incense rise," we are just saying, "Yes, Lord, may my heart, may the songs that I sing, may the prayers that I send to you, may the things that I say and the way I live my life be as incense to you. May it lift up to you and may it be pleasing." So would our worship be right in the sight of God our Father? I know there's a lot of interesting theology in our worship songs. And we don't just sing songs to sing songs. These are scripturally based, beautiful words that mean something. And so, Lord, we just thank you, God, that we can come to you with questions, that we can come to each other with questions and say, what does this thing mean? God, as we sing these songs, would they be worship? Would they be pleasing to you? Thank you, Jesus. Brother Terrence, will you lead us in prayer?
Yeah, Father, I thank you, Lord. I ask that our worship would be a sweet aroma to you, God. Lord, fill this place with your presence, Lord. God, I thank you that you hear our prayers, God, and that you are a good God and we serve the true living God. So, God, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of our worship, King Jesus, Father God, and Holy Spirit. Let's sing from this image in the book of Revelation.
And all the saints and angels bow before your throne. And all God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Our hearts. Spend some time speaking to God and just listening. What does it mean for us to live a life holy and pleasing to a holy and perfect God?
Day and night, night and day, let it of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yeah. You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy, and so we thank you for seeing us and for loving us where we are. Lord, I pray that we would just continue on this journey with you in humility and in faith, knowing that you are guiding every single step. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for what you did this past week. And I pray that the seeds that were planted, God, would just take root in homes, Lord Jesus, and that you would use children to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. You are good and you do good work, Father. And we say thank you. We know it's not enough, but Lord, we just say thank you, and we want to partner with what you're doing here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Us to focus in on you this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and as you are, we're gonna throw up a VBS recap video for you to take a look at.
Meant to cry, but would you lead us? It's a pretty incredible time when you think about how much time is poured into these children and how much time we spend just loving on them. But I'll say this, as adults who are spending time and just giving your time and your hands and you're using your hands and feet for Jesus, those kids pour back into us. And it's a pretty incredible time to just look back and see, like, we are pouring into our community and our kids are going to make a difference in this world. And so I just thank all of you for what you did. And so this morning, as we like sit in this moment of joy, we also want to ask the ushers to come forward. And as the baskets are going around, I would love to tell you a little bit about what happened at Main Event and one of the projects that they took on. And so as the baskets go around, you will see like the benefits of your giving. And one of those things that we have taught ourselves as a congregation and as we're doing pouring into our children is that we're teaching them to also give back. It's an incredible time. We provide all of this, talented people, all that's going on, but then they also have an opportunity to be part of a missions project. And so last week we challenged all of these students to do 200 items of about 12 different things, everything from dish soap, laundry soap, deodorant, personal hygiene items, paper towels. And the reason why we brought that up is because, as we all know, everything's expensive. Everything is getting more and more expensive, and so one of the hardest things to pick up for people is personal hygiene items. The things that you really need in life, they just hike that price up for you. And so we asked the kids to bring it in, which means we wanted 2,400 items from the kids. And I just have to tell you that they pulled through, they exceeded that. We ended up with over 2,800 items of all these things. Here are the numbers. And so as you go out into the lobby, you can see most of it out there. We're going to haul it away today and put it into the pantry and give it away over these next few weeks and months and bless families in our community who are having a difficult time. And so if you want to be a part of that project, if you want to also donate, these items or anything else that God moves on your heart is what we are asking for, because all we want to do is put it in that pantry and bless people. We just want to look at them and let them know and rub shoulders with them and let them know that they are valuable. Rough times do not define who we are. And so as we move forward this morning, I just want you to take a moment, take a deep breath, and just prepare your heart for what God wants to say to you and how the Holy Spirit's going to move this morning in our minds and our hearts.
Good morning, New Life. I am so excited for you to hear from Pastor Philip, our student pastor today. Philip passionately follows after Jesus every single day and teaches our students how to do that also. Many times you will find Philip not in his office, but on the campuses of our local high schools and middle schools around the Central Coast. And so make sure you take out your Bibles, your notepads, and your pencils and get ready to hear a word from the Lord from Philippians chapter 2. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being.
Good morning, church. How you doing? How you feeling? Yes? Pete, what's up, man? Well, as Pastor Nick was leading us in worship from this area, Nick, thank you for leading us in scripture in a pastoral moment, because we sing about a song called Worthy. Worthy of it all. And we'll get to a Philippians 2, I promise. Oh, Jesus. It's a hard scripture to teach from. And a hard, because the scripture we're getting to is about church division. And our church is 74 years old. Am I right, Nick? Am I right, Sharon? Sorry, Captain, Grandpa, 74 years old. And our church has probably been through some division. We are not immune to that. Just like the church at Philippi was not immune to it at all. But before we even get into the scriptures, I know they already started my preaching time, but the scriptures declare, and like Pastor Nick was there in Revelation, but also Revelations, I want to back up a little bit. Revelation 4 and 5 speaks to this idea that John the Revelator, John who was writing, a disciple of Jesus, is writing. Actually, number one, back up. He got persecuted. He's being persecuted, and he got exiled to an island off the island of Greece because of his faith in the Lord Jesus. They boiled this man and isolated him. And then it was in that moment where we see this beautiful scripture that we get all messed up all the time. End times, all this stuff. The book of Revelation is supposed to reveal Jesus, period. And we get to chapter 4 and 5 where we see John. He is taking up, he is being brought up, lifted high to heaven. He says, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice that I heard before me spoke with a loud trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here and I will show you what must happen after this. Connor, you are on it, bro. This is not even in the notes. We're gonna jump down to verse 9. Whenever the living beings are giving glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and they worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. I know y'all know this. We are a church that's 74 years old. We know this. But there's some people in the house that don't know this. And they lay their crowns before the throne saying, you are worthy, O Lord, which we sang about. You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive. That means we're giving something. To receive what glory and honor and power, because you created all things. Don't get it twisted, church. This one that's sitting on the throne that we're singing worthy to is the one who created all things, which we'll get to in our text. This is crazy how this is even speaking, echoing what our scripture this morning in Philippians 2. And then you go into chapter 5. Then I saw a scroll on the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with the seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, oh man, who is worthy to break the seal of the scroll and open it? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I, John, began to weep bitterly. Why? Because no one was found worthy. You and I are not found worthy, church. Isaiah says that our good deeds are like filthy rags before God's sight. So you want to try to work up enough effort to please God? Stop trying. The scriptures point to us and says, our work is to believe in the one who the Father has sent. And we know from scripture, the one who has sent is Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the anointed one. So John is weeping bitterly because there was found no one, but one of the 24 elders said to me, yo, stop weeping. Encouragement. Look. Fix your eyes upon the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir of David's throne. He won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. He is worthy. And then from there, verse 9, it says, and they sang a new song with these words, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal and open it. For you were slaughtered and your blood, come on church, your blood has ransomed people for God. We still believe in the blood of Jesus at New Life. For your blood has ransomed people, not just from America, praise God, but from every tribe, every language, and people, and nation. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power, riches, wisdom, to strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Church, the reason we gather today, the reason we come together and sing songs to a God that we cannot see is because he is the only one that was found worthy to receive honor, glory, praise. He's the only one that's worthy enough to receive our breath, because in the first chapter of the beginning of the Bible, it says God made humans and he breathed the breath of life into humans. I know a lot of these people in this room may know the youth pastor back in the day, Doug Smith. Doug Smith was my mentor, still is. He helped me follow this path that God has put me on. Doug Smith used to always coin this from the scriptures. He'd say, "Shut up, rock. I got this." Because if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. It's a scripture. It's in there. So before I even get into the book of Philippians, I wanted to draw our attention to the one who was found worthy. The one who was, because we come to church with so many of our selfish reasons. Oh, who's preaching today? Oh, he's preaching. Oh, she's preaching. Oh, I ain't coming. If you can't say amen, you gotta say ouch. We love our preferences. The music's too loud. The music's not loud enough. You got one cross that has stained glass in it. You got one cross that has nails in it. Why is the stage decorated? Why is Philip elevated on a platform? Pastor Nick led us this morning in a song that said that he talked about the incense. And thank you, Nick, for giving us a visual, helping us to be in the temple, because there would have been blood everywhere. There would have been guts everywhere. I know. I see Christy Peterson's father over here, and I know her husband. They know how to handle some animals. Imagine for yourself, you come into the house, the temple of God, where God's presence dwells, and you're bringing your animals. I don't think we would ever dare to bring an animal in a church these days. You have to put yourselves in the scriptures. They brought an animal to be slaughtered, to be killed. Why? Because there has to be blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. So fast forward to Jesus when he comes on the scene, which we'll get to in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 through 11. The humility of Christ, the Christ hymn, as the old church liked to call it, all through church tradition. We see one who is worthy of it all, who left heaven. Let me back up, because Allie is scared because my toes are hanging off. Let me back up a little bit. We find the one that's worthy. Fast forward to Jesus when he comes, and he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we don't need to bring animals into the church anymore, church. We have the one who gave up his life as a pleasing aroma, as a sacrifice before God his Father, but because of you and I and our sins. And our sin that separated us from the Father. Which we'll get into his life here in a second. But Pastor Nick brought up this idea of incense. And now in the New Testament, John writes in Revelation 8 that there is now an incense of the prayers of the saints. And after we just had a week like we just had with our main event, I know Dana or somebody in this room, we had a lot of kids, elementary age kids, between 400, 450 and 500 elementary age kids on this campus that don't come to this campus, that don't come to this church, that don't go to Grace Bible, that don't go to Harvest, that don't go to Everyday Church, that don't go to a Catholic church. And I was reminded because I saw two little kids there talking about the prayer, the incense of prayer. In 2009, when I first moved to the Central Coast, I walked into a steam surf shop and met this guy named Brad Tackett. I'm pretty sure he's not here. But from that moment on, Brad Tackett became one of my best friends, my only friend, my good friend here in the Central Coast. And as I started to give my life to Jesus and submit my life to him, to Jesus, and started following Jesus, I came to find out that my friend Brad, who was working at Esteem, we'll get to that in a minute, because the scripture we're talking about in Philippians 2:3, Esteem gets their name from. Shout out to Robbie Dominguez and Esteem. I started to now pray for my friend Brad, single guy, working at Esteem, skater, great friend. And then now fast forward later to 2022, his kids, his daughter and his son, are in our main event. That doesn't mean Brad and his wife Kayla are not followers of Jesus. What that showed to me was, God, you're so faithful. You're so good, because I've been praying for their dad for all this time. I've invited him to come to a Christmas service, him and his wife. But to see his kids come into our church, to experience the King called Jesus and his kingdom come, his will be done on earth, and then hopefully they go back home and they're talking about this. My prayer still is for Brad and Kayla to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So I'm about the prayer of the incense. I hope my incense, Lord, is pleasing to you. Church, I hope your incense of your prayers, who are you praying for? Who you continue to lay down your life for the sake of others, of laboring over this idea of prayer, shedding tears over friends, family members that don't know Jesus as Lord yet. Who are we collectively as a church lifting up as an incense to God in prayer for the salvation of their soul, for the rescue of, for them to be in a right relationship with this Jesus that we've come to gather around? So we come to Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. I got 21 more minutes with you. How are you doing? Balcony, are we good? So first, before I get into that, I just want to honor our team in the sound booth back in the cave doing stuff. All the volunteers that were here, I just want to honor them, because we could not continue to do what we do without us. If you did not come, this would not be a church. If people did not come and give up their time and energy, because they are giving. But you always ask for our money, church. Yeah, but people are also coming and giving their time, giving their sweat, giving their energy as well. So I just want to give honor to the team behind the scenes that you don't see that's serving to make all this happen. Shout out to all the ones watching online at home. For those out on the patio, welcome. So glad you have chosen to come to New Life this morning at 9:48 on a Sunday morning. You could be at home having breakfast right now or still sleep. So thank you for tuning in. Let the chats become community, all right? Let the chats turn yourself into a group of people that you get yourself connected to. Also, I want to give honor to our senior pastor and his wife, David and Dana. I know David just left yesterday morning to go to officer training school for the next 2 months. And so us as a church, we want to be lifting up our pastor as often as you can in his absence. Also, while Dana is here with her four kids, she's over there. You can't see her, but she's right there. Poke yourself out. Yeah, there she is. I want to honor her too. So if you can think about her for the next 2 months as she is single parenting it, pray for her, encourage her, send her a text, shout her out on Facebook. I don't know what you do, but I just want to give honor to them as well and before we get in this text. So I know that David opened us up. He started us off in Philippians chapter 1 last week, and we looked at this beautiful passage of where Paul is given his thesis, the reason why he is writing to the church in Philippi. The church in Philippi, mind you can read this in Acts chapter 16, where Paul is doing his missionary journeys, and then all of a sudden he gets a vision from a person in Macedonia, which is where the church in Philippi is. And because of the vision of the Holy Spirit, Paul changes his course and heads to Macedonia, where he starts to, he did some crazy stuff. He did some stuff that caused people's businesses, I know some business people in the house, I see you. He caused your business to fail because of what he did by the power of the Spirit. He came and prayed over a demonic woman named Lydia, and the demon left her, and she became a follower of Jesus, and that stirred up strife in Philippi. And so from that moment on, you read in Acts chapter 16, he gets thrown in jail. Him and Silas get thrown in jail, and it's a famous scripture I like to go to. He's getting thrown in jail, and then while he's in jail, while him and Silas are in jail, at midnight, the scripture says, him and Silas begin to sing hymns and praise the Lord in actual chains. And it says that God opened their prison door, broke their chains, and not just theirs, but everyone else that was in the jailer too, and then everyone became free. But the jailer was scared of his life because he was entrusted with those inmates. So he goes to draw his sword and to kill himself, and Paul says, don't do that. And then Paul begins to lead this prisoner to faith in Jesus. And the scriptures declare that says that about that prisoner, the prisoner became he gave his life to Christ. He got baptized, and his whole household became saved, gave their life to Christ. And then it says on that jailer now welcomed Paul and Silas into his home and started to bandage their wounds, take care of them. And Paul does some other stuff, and then he finds himself in jail again. But in the Philippi church started, and I'm going to step on somebody's toes as I step away from the edge of the stage. Audrey, was it Lydia? Was that who was the first convert? So the first convert, was it Lydia? I don't want to. Help me out, church. Okay. So Lydia was the one of the first converts to start the church at Philippi. She was an influential woman. She was an influential woman, had this cloth, purple cloth. She was a trader. She had money. What's up? She dyed the clothes, yes. So as someone who was a businesswoman who had coin, who had money, she gave her life to Christ, and from there she started to open up her home for the people of God in Philippi to start to gather in Jesus' name. So because of her hospitality, we oftentimes want to look over hospitality in the church because it's not a sexy gift in the church. But don't you know that the hospitality of Lydia led many people to faith in Christ? Who in this room has a gift of hospitality? Because your gift, and some people, I see people pointing at each other. We see from scripture, from the gift of hospitality, the opening your home. We see it in Paul writing to establishing churches in this area, and he's looking for certain men and women to establish the leadership in the church. And one of the requirements of a pastor, an overseer, a deacon, is that you are hospitable. You welcome people in your home. And we see this from Lydia. Lydia was one of the first converts in Philippi, and she opened, and so she's one of the first. She, as a female, was one of the first to gather other Christians and give them a space and give money to Paul and Silas for the sake of the mission, which we'll get to tonight. Today, it ain't tonight. Oh. Y'all know I'm long-winded, so it may be tonight. But Paul goes on to write, he's thanking the Philippians, man, I thank you for your generosity, your gifts to help spread the gospel. And he goes on to say that because of his imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence. Church, I hope you are gaining confidence when you come into the house of the Lord. You are gaining confidence to what? He says in chapter 1, verse 14, gain confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. This is beautiful. And before I get into chapter 2, verse 1, I can't just jump in because it says, therefore. Well, that translation doesn't, but a lot of translation says, therefore, which you've got to back up and go back to the previous text. And so we want to look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It says this, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. So Paul's appealing them. He's reminding them of their new identity that is found in Christ, that you are now citizens of a new kingdom. So with that in mind, Philippians 2:1, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy. Other translations, some of your translations may say, complete my joy. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, he says. I'm reading out the New Living Translation, so it may be a little different. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves, don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Verse 5, you must have an imperative, a command. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. I remember growing up, my mom used to tell me all the time because I was a kid that had a bad attitude. Some of y'all in this room can relate as well. And my mom used to tell me all the time, Philip, you're not going to get anywhere in life with that attitude. My mom grew up in church, but she may have walked away from the faith. I don't know too much, but I do remember that. When I read this scripture, it makes me hear my mom, Philip, you ain't going to get anywhere in life with that attitude, which as a young boy, I wasn't a man, as a young, immature boy, I needed to hear something like that, because now, fast forward, when I gave my life to Christ, I come to a text that says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Was my mom preaching to me without even preaching to me? Possibly seeds of the gospel may be planted when I was a kid that did not know Christ. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, verse 6, which is the hymn of Christ that the early church would have sung and rallied around and was encouraged by. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to hold on to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. In my Bible, divine privileges is circled. I have a lot on that. He took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human body. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience, key phrase, to God, and died a criminal's death on a cross. Because of all of that, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that's above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, is Master, is Ruler. I'm preaching now. That Christ is Lord to what? The selfishness of the church. No, to the glory of God the Father. So let's break this down. Mind you, Paul's in prison again for proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. He is writing to address division by two influential women in the church, which he names them by name. We like to say, ooh, we don't want to say names. Paul says in scripture that we have today, addressing church division, he calls them out in chapter 4, verse 2. He calls these two influential women out. There's a right way to do conflict, church. And there's also a petty way to do conflict, aka post on your social media, gossip, live in unforgiveness. Jesus gives a scripture in the Gospel of Matthew 18, I believe it is. There's in YWAM, in Youth with a Mission, this was a scripture that we had to practice often. It's a Matthew 18:20 principle. It's the idea that when you have a wrong or a beef or pettiness between another believer, you go to that person and make it right. If they don't listen, you now bring a witness with you. If they don't listen again, bring them from the whole church. How awkward would that be? But how much accountability will we live in, church? But yes, it is very tough to do. Why are you single me in now? Don't you see what she's posting? Don't you see what he's posting? Why are you sharing posts that causes division? That's about gossip. Paul's writing to address, yes, joy, but also unity. Division in the church by two influential women. Christian unity, church, is one of Paul's major concerns throughout this entire letter. So Paul's in prison because he proclaimed that Jesus is Lord and not Caesar. And so what is Lord in our culture, church? Is it sexuality? Is that Lord in our culture? Sexuality? Is our opinions Lord in our culture? Is politics Lord in our culture? He's writing to address two influential women. It's crazy that we have the blue and the red that causes so much division in our culture. Whoever it is, it does not matter who is running for president. It's going to cause some division in the world, yes, obviously, but in the church? Come on, church. I thought our allegiance was to the kingdom and the king, Jesus. Now, don't hear me not say that we don't, because Scripture declares, if you are a follower of Jesus, we lift up those. We pray for those who are in authority, Romans 13. If you like that person or not, that's tough. That's real tough, especially when you don't agree with what they are doing in the world, in our United States of America. And don't come at me because I have the president seal tattooed on my torso right here. I have United We Stand across my belly button. My dad was a Marine. Don't come at me. But as far as of Jesus, I have to help us see things from a kingdom perspective, not always at an American perspective. Yes, we are thankful. Don't get me wrong. We are thankful. Our pastor, number one, is going into the military to do what? To serve as a chaplain for that community. Because why? That community and the military are often, now I can't speak to it because I've never served in the military. I wanted to, but I couldn't. But I have friends. Our pastor is going to serve. And yet, and I've heard through the grapevine that the families of military families, it's hard. A lot of you are doing this. You understand. How much more do our military need chaplains, people of God, to not be afraid and stand up and speak truth and see, because the soldiers see each other every single day. They're with each other. So how much more do we need to pray for those Christian brothers and sisters who serve in our military that are rubbing shoulders with these other people that they're serving with, and that they would receive boldness from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, to give a word, a correction, encouragement to another who is serving. Our pastor people, come on. Why is he gone for 2 months? I know that's one that can cause division. What pastor in America leaves his congregation for 2 months? That can cause division in a church. So Paul is warning us. He says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? So I want to look at four questions from verse 1 real quick. Question number 1, do you have any encouragement from your unity with Christ? Think about yourself before you knew Jesus. Has there been any encouragement that Christ has left heaven to come save your raunchy butt? To save my scandalous self? Are you encouraged by what Jesus has done with he lived, he died, he rose, and he's coming back again? Have you not been encouraged that when you were disobedient and far from God, that God saw you in that moment? He said, I'm coming after you. Not because you deserve it, Israel. Not because you deserve it, church, but because my Father has seen humanity since Genesis chapter 3, and humanity is sick. They're missing it. So my plan is to send my son, my one and only son. We know the scripture, John 3:16. We love to quote it, but we don't like to believe it. For the Father loved the world so much, the world, a broken society that does not know God, who is hostile towards him. God loved the world like that, that world, that he gave something. He gave his one and only son, that whoever believes will not spiritually die, but have spiritual life. Have you not found encouragement from your unity with Christ? It's a question that is being asked of us today who love church conflict, who love church division, who love gossip and rumors. Have you not been encouraged with your unity with Christ? Question number two, have you ever been comforted by his love? We search for love because of a daddy issue, a mommy issue, a family issue. And this word right here, love, is this agape love. Have you, why should we do this? Have you found any comfort by his love? So I wanted to write these scriptures down because I have 2 minutes and 40 seconds with you. Write this stuff down. You can go home and read it later. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. I'm close, so I'll read it to you, but write it down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. I am confusing y'all. But God, so who is rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. Have you not been comforted by his love? He loved us so much that even though you were dead because of your sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by grace that we've been saved. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, live a life filled with love. Have you not been comforted by his love? Paul says, live a life filled with love, following the example of culture. No, following the example of Christ. Why? Because we have been comforted by his love. He loved us, and he offered himself as a sacrifice for us, as a pleasing aroma to God. I know for me, I should not be even up here preaching to you after all the stuff I've done in my life. I don't deserve to be up here on this platform communicating anything to you. But because of his great love, I've been comforted. Have you been comforted, church? We look to things to comfort us, but we don't look to Christ and be reminded of what he has done for us. Question number three, have you felt the fellowship of the Spirit? This word fellowship means association of close mutual relationship and involvement with one another, or intimacy. Have you found intimacy with the Holy Spirit? In our church today, in a lot of churches growing up, in a Black Southern Baptist church, and some other churches in North Carolina, that's where I grew up, we think of the Holy Spirit as a spook. We're scared of the Holy Spirit. Some of us don't believe in the power of the Spirit. But don't you know that it was because of the Spirit of God that led you into a relationship with Jesus. It's the scripture says that if Jesus is not lifted up, then he cannot draw all people to himself. And how do we do that? Well, it's being wooed, being tugged, being pulled by the Spirit of God. Paul writes in 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I don't know the address, but it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. We cannot have the gift of repentance without first being aware of our sin by the Spirit. Have you had any fellowship with the Spirit? Before we start preaching and worshiping up here, I know there's a team of prayer people that come early, and I know a few of these people are here like early, just in here, fellowshipping with one another, praying for one another. Our team's praying in here. They go back here. Why would we come in here and try to gather like this without the power of the Spirit? Do you think I'm clever enough to change your heart and mind? It's not happening. I'm not good enough to do that. My English is terrible. I'm from backwoods North Carolina. I don't have the best grammar. But it's the foolishness of preaching, Paul says. Have you any fellowship with the Spirit? Because it's the Spirit that comes. It's the Spirit that convicts us of sin. It's the Spirit that reminds us of the truth of who Jesus is. It's the Spirit that fills us with power. It's the Spirit that gives us words to say when we don't have words to say. It's the Spirit that when we don't have words to pray, the Spirit makes intercession. It groans with prayer for you and I. Is there no fellowship with the Spirit? Number three, has Christ ever been tender and compassionate towards you? Have you ever made a mistake? Facts, big facts, as the young people would say. I'm reminded of John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. They bring her at the feet of Jesus, throw her at the feet of Jesus, and says, the law of God, the Bible, says to kill her. Pick up rocks and throw them at her. What do you say, Jesus of Nazareth? And then he goes on to do his thing with his words by the power of the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, all these people that brought this woman were gone. And he looks at her and he speaks identity to her. Daughter, instead of prostitute, daughter, where are your accusers? As she's wiping her eyes probably, barely lifts her head. Is anyone here left to condemn you? No, sir. No, Lord, she says. He's the only one standing there worthy enough to condemn her, throw rocks and kill this woman. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Because Romans chapter 8 is one of the most beautiful scriptures in the entire Bible. It says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. You and I think, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But have you keep going and read in your Bible in John chapter 3, verse 17? Because it goes on to say, he did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but to save the world through him. But I thought Jesus came to judge us. Well, that's his second coming. Y'all know he's coming back again. Don't forget it. And are you living as a citizen of heaven, living a life worthy of King Jesus? Why? Because he's coming back. And in the second coming, he's coming back with judgment. The first time he came, not to judge the world, but to save the world. So right now, the scripture says in 1 Peter somewhere that God's heart is that no one would come, that no one would die and not know him. I'm paraphrasing. But all would come to the knowledge of truth and repentance. Why? Because we still live in the era of his first coming. Yeah, he's not here yet, but he ain't here yet again. He ain't come back yet. And when he comes back, he will come back with judgment. But those who are found in Christ, our judgment is now in Christ. We have been covered by his blood. And John chapter 3 continues to go on to talk about this judgment. That light has come into the world, but we love the darkness more than the light. So because we don't want our evil deeds to be exposed. Paul was reminding them of all the blessings that come from being in Christ. I have so many more notes, and I am 4.5 minutes over my time. Come back for 11 o'clock service and we'll pick it up there. Y'all think I'm laughing. But can I get, no, Jack, it's too late. I was gonna have Jack come play the keyboard and make it sound real nice. But oh my word, please, I don't have time to preach all of this like I want to, but your assignment, church, to make the joy of Paul complete. He says, be of one mind, be of the same spirit, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Oh, Jesus, I wish you'd give me more time. And then he goes on to give us the, how do we do all that, Paul? He says, don't be selfish. In verse 3 and 4. Do not be selfish. That's why I have this esteem hat up here. That's why I have this Esteem t-shirt up here. That's why I'm wearing a Esteem shirt right now, is because the surf shop in Pismo Beach, and Robbie Dominguez is the one who owns it right now. Don't you know that in the tags of Esteem t-shirts, it says Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but esteem one another as better than yourselves. Did you know esteem came straight from New King James Bible? And we have in our surf skate agricultural community, there is a business. And I know some of y'all love Moondoggies, and I'm not throwing shade on anyone else. I'm just more close with Esteem and Robbie, that's all. How cool is that? To be a business that says, I'm gonna do business, I'm gonna put a scripture in California. And to hear the blessings that God has shown him favor in that. I'm not saying he has favor and blessing because he has a word from scripture on his sign. I'm not saying that. But it's a good reminder that when you see someone wearing a Esteem shirt, Esteem gear, oh, do nothing out of selfishness or ambition, but esteem others as better than myself. I can't do that, Lord. That's why we need fellowship with the Spirit. Oh, Eugene Peterson, I close with this. Eugene Peterson says this: don't be obsessed with getting your own way and advantage, but forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. So who do we look to? I'm glad you asked. We look to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And it says that he is our great example of how do we live this life of unity instead of division. We look to Jesus. We look to Paul. We look to Timothy. We look to Epaphroditus. We look at these men and women in Scripture as our example to how to do this. We can't do this by ourselves. We have to do this and live this in community. Therefore, if you're outside of community, it's going to be hard to live in unity by yourself. Because Jesus prayed one of his unanswered prayers in John chapter 17. I pray that you would make them one, just as you and I are one, Father. So I'm going to invite you to stand up. Stand to your feet. And this is going to be my closing commissioning. As you know, David, he has it word by word. I love it. I'm not David, though. Our commissioning will be this, from the same scripture that I did not get to teach you, but oh, Jesus, open their eyes to see the beautiful truths of your example. I'm going to read this and say, amen, you're free to go. Parents, you're free to go get your kids. You're free to hang out on the patio. If you have not been connected, stop at one of our connection centrals to learn more about our church, learn how you can get plugged in, learn how you can serve, learn how you can be in community. I close with this. Have the same attitude that Jesus had. Though he was God, he gave up. He did not think of equality with God, something that he clinged on to. Oh, but my mom and daddy, did you know who they are? Jesus did not do that. He says, instead, he gave up his privileges. Oh, how much privilege we have in America. Thank you, Lord, for that. But the example of Christ shows that he, the one we've come to sing about, he, the one we've come to gather around his word, he, the one we've come to look at, to be encouraged by, to be our example, said he gave up everything, became a servant. Because Mark 10 says that he came to seek and save. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God something to cling on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave and become born as a human being. And when he appeared, do you see the level of, oh, I don't have time, Jesus? He died on a criminal's death. This is the incarnation of Jesus. We like to do this at Christmas time, celebrate the birth of Christ, but yet we see before he came what he did. He gave up his divine privileges so that you and I can celebrate the birth of Jesus. Jesus. And he died on the cross. And therefore, because of that, God now elevated himself. 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourselves and under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, he will lift you up. This is an example from Jesus. He shows our Savior, our King, of the one that we're following, never does or says anything
that he does not hear or see his Father doing. And when he teaches, his words have power because his life lives it. So that God honored him and elevated him and gave him the name that's above every name. Close your eyes, bow your heads, lift your hands. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in this room, in our community, those who are already dead. We will bow our knee to Jesus and we will confess, we will say out loud with our words if we want to or not, that you are Lord. So right now, church, if you have not bowed your knee and confessed with your mouth that he is Lord, you have the opportunity to do that today, this morning. Don't rush off to brunch, but come to the altar. Come to the front of this platform and receive prayer. Receive mercy. Receive forgiveness. Why? Because the name above all names has been elevated and honored to the glory of God. So, Lord, we thank you for your encouragement, your example. Thank you for your love towards us. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. If you love God, say amen, 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 amen. I'll see you Wednesday for the class that Pastor Dave does. Peace out. There's no right way to end that.